Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020.
Bitcoin and Ethereum are holding steady. Bitcoin at 10,498, up less than 1%. Ethereum is at 343, up less than, basically exactly zero. They're just staying straight and steady this week.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tracks, tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, up first, joke coin meme. The airdrop was worth $600,000. That was when it hit an all-time high yesterday of $1,775. It's down 37%, but still at $1,100. This one is crazy to me that something that started as a satirical joke about the DeFi bubble has turned into a passionate community experimenting with DeFi and art, and it is a NFT platform.
Yeah.
For collectibles, crypto collectibles.
There's two parts of this which are history repeating itself. For the crypto historians among us, you'll notice two things here. So first is a meme coin going from a joke to not a joke, or at least somewhat not a joke, which is very reminiscent of Dogecoin back in the day, which is everyone will know is the coin that uses the corgi puppy as its moniker. So that was a obvious coin. I mean, as long as there's been crypto, there have been people who don't believe in crypto who then are technical enough to, build something in crypto to point out the ridiculous of crypto. And then, of course, it goes to be worth money. So Memecoin is first of all, it's a throwback. I would say harkens back to Dogecoin, which I really like. And second of all, what's funny about crypto is crypto really has had a very passionate group of artists as part of crypto for a very long time. It's really interesting. Like, I remember going to Bitcoin conferences in 2013, somewhere in that range. And you would very often see artists, even today you still see artists doing big graffiti pieces that have hidden messages in it or hidden private keys to be able to claim some coins. There's been, NFTs for the most part. I think there's two parts of it, but one of the first stories we covered as part of the DeFi Daily was a story about Paris Hilton selling an NFT token of a piece of art she drew. I mean, it's just funny. This is not the first time. Like, that's something that's been around for a long time. So the overlap of crypto and art is something I always find really interesting because it's not intuitive. Like, this is not something that I would expect a bunch of crypto anarchists to suddenly be like, hey, art's awesome. But it is. It's been this sort of part of it. So I'm glad to see that there's a piece of DeFi getting picked up at this. It seems like it's less. I don't think this would strictly be under the DeFi meta bubble. I think if we really were harsh about this, I think this is more just an Ethereum token, just like any of the other CryptoKitties would also fall into the same sort of messing with NFT and how artists are using it. So not really exactly the same thing, but hey, I love it, man. This is cool.
All right, Unitoken update. So some people have raised questions whether the Unitoken that was airdropped is a security and subject to security enforcement actions by the SEC.
Yeah, we talk about this quite a bit on this show because, for me, I'm always interested in the legality of Uniswap, of tokens in general. The way it has been explained to me by various people in the legal profession is, whether it's security or not, the way it's been explained to me is if people reasonably view it as something that they could make money on, if the value of it is going to change or if it's going to imbue some sort of value to yourself that you could make money on, that essentially makes the SEC treat it as a security. Now, where it gets really tricky with Uniswap and with all of the DeFi projects going on, well, first of all, this is exactly, we talked about this yesterday. Like, we talked about this yesterday when it came to it was one of the companies, APY.Finance, that had raised a seed round. It is really hard for me to imagine traditional venture funding backing something like a token swap like this because it is really it is fraught with liabilities, I guess we should say, right? You look at Kick, which was a relatively large company, and got dinged, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for doing a unregistered SEC public offering. So I, you know, companies that have exposure in the United States, especially exposure through VCs, like that's where it really becomes an issue, because VCs are heavily regulated. I mean, at least in some parts, and they certainly have to file taxes and all this kind of stuff. So if you have a onus to be within the bounds of the law, otherwise your VC is going to lose all their money. Wow, you have a strict onus on being very careful about security offerings. So when Uniswap did this, it did strike me as a landmine. Like it occurred to me that they must have had some lawyers go into this. What this article that we tweeted out, we'll tweet this out also, what it talked about was, it was a few of the different pieces of it. But I guess where it gets really interesting is, like, you know, normally for it to be a public offering, you have to be accepting money for it. That's where it starts to get kind of dicey here. It's like, if you think about like an ICO, they set up a website, you go to the website, you give them money, they give you back tokens. All right, that is a public offering of a security. I don't think anyone debates that, especially if you think that you're going to gain value because the token's going to go up in price. Uniswap's a little bit different. Like, they just give tokens out. So like, so there's two parts of this. One is, yes, okay, so let's call it a security, but the laws and the liability tend to be much more around the damages and B, the distribution. So I don't see how you have any liability damage, how you have any damages for giving people a bunch of tokens like this. And then B, when it comes to the actual distribution, I mean, they did not take money for this coin. Now where it does get dicey is if Uniswap then went and actually opened up one of their Uniswap pools that was backed, you know, ETH to UNI or something like that. That would then be a mechanism that they were sponsoring the exchange of UNI for some other tokens. And that actually could then be looked. I mean, obviously, none of this is legal advice, but this is sort of different ways to look at the problem of, like, is this security? Is Uniswap going to be in a lot of trouble? This article makes the point that Uniswap is well-funded. Uniswap is well-funded, but they're not that well-funded. I mean, they have several millions of dollars, but I mean, this is not Kick with $100 million in the bank. Like, this is a small company. If the SEC took an action against them, it would be done. They'd be done. Like, there's no, you know, Uniswap as the company would be gone. It would just be the code floating around, and I guess SushiSwap would take over the mantle. So it was very risky that Uniswap did this with the exposure they have. It's also why it makes a lot of sense there's so many anonymous tokens popping up. How many anonymous teams going after this stuff? Like, SushiSwap is under the same issue. Like, SushiSwap, honestly, they might have issues with whether this is secure, with whether their tokens are a security or not. So it's all super interesting. There's a lot of legal gray area here. You know, my deepest wish is that essentially the U.S. comes out with really clear guidance on this so that we don't have to play these like hypothetical legal games of, like, is it okay that Uniswap gave people, you know, $1,200?
All right. Well, it's very interesting. So sticking with Uniswap, users are uniting to try and strengthen UNI, and the group is UNII, new token.
UNI Inamorare. I want to put this on here because there's an interesting aspect to this. But so the UNII token, strikes me as a bit scammy. I won't say that it 100% is. It might be super legitimate. But they're doing a staking protocol on top of UNI tokens, and that's the only thing you can stake on it. And then they're taking a portion of the generated UNI Swap the UNII tokens, and this is going to like drive the YFI versus YFII is going to drive me insane how we pronounce this stuff. But I think so. The thing that's interesting to talk about here, though, is this concept of pooling tokens and pooling tokens for the ability to kind of own governance votes. So this is where I get sort of excited about this. Is you can imagine a world where because Uniswap has a governance token now, Balancer has governance tokens. The goal is that the governance tokens theoretically control major portions of the thing. Sushi is probably a better example because Yam had a very powerful governance token that was on top of their protocol. Eventually, there is a world where a coalition of members could pool enough tokens to wrest substantial control from the original founding team of even something backed by investors like Uniswap. So that's what I think is really interesting about this. I don't think that this token is going to do anything particularly interesting, but I think what's to be watched in this industry is pooling of governance tokens for for control. I mean, it's think about it as like a hostile takeover from a corporate raid or investor. You know, it's the same idea. I could absolutely see that happening over time.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. You can check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily. Thanks. All right.
Have a good one.